Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Ball is a high drive in the deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is the
swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Goal!
I know what the big deal like Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack cookie and get a prize?
Oh, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land.
This is our sports report.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Been a while, hadn't it? But we're back, don't you worry. We are here with our sports report. Goodness, it's good to be back. Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock. Haven't done one of these in a while, ladies and gentlemen. But we want to welcome you all back to our sports report. Kind of as football season ended, we went away from the Buckeye Hangover because covering every single basketball game would just take up a lot of time. And like we've made very clear before, since we all have full-time jobs, we just don't have a lot of time.
Contrary to the normal bloggers, we do in fact have jobs. Do in fact live on our own. I'm even married.
You're married
beyond all belief.
JP is in a committed relationship.
Might as well be.
Yeah, and I have a mustache. So that's where we're at.
That clearly scared away every woman in a 50 mile radius. But it's a stash.
Thank you.
It's quite nice.
I am fond of it. I really am. I can imagine how
as
most
you should
of the
be.
Female persuasion are not.
Yeah, they're frightened as hell.
Yes, they're calling me into the 911. So that's where we're getting right there.
Are you able to drive by a park?
I am.
With that right now? Without the cops getting suspicious? Well,
I haven't tested it yet. I guess I'm going to try that.
You might want to be cautious.
Mr. Ashcraft.
We saw you drive by the school the other day. Anyhow,
well, we want to welcome you all back to our sports report. We've been doing this for now about a year. I'll tell you what, folks, this has been a good time. Remember to continue to visit us at oursportsreport.wordpress.com. Also find us on Twitter at @OS_report. And also you can find us on Facebook at Our Sports Report. Now, first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, one thing we're going to start with, because it is the most important thing we are doing right now. And may I please get a drum roll, please?
That's all I got.
I'll take it. If you haven't already known, we are hosting a wiffle ball tournament.
Yes.
This summer. And we have put a lot of time and effort into everything, into preparing for this tournament. It's going to be the 2014 Our Sports Report Wiffle Ball Summer Classic. It will be here in Fredericktown, Ohio, located in the baseball field behind the police station. For the exact address, please visit the Facebook page of the 2014 Our Sports Report Wiffle Ball Summer Classic, or you can find out the tab with more information about it on our website, oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Now, as you pull into the venue, you might be confused because you may, in fact, see what you think to be a old burnt-out factory,
yes,
which is a giant pad of concrete with a little building that's somehow still there. That's exactly where you want to be.
Yes.
There is actually a police station in there because there's, like, what, two cops in Fredericktown?
Yes.
So, therefore, that's all the room they need. And then, apparently, at some day, this is going to be a massive, you know, community athletic complex.
They've
someday.
Been saying that for 10 years. So.
10?
10.
15, 20, maybe.
Or,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, if you see this, you are in the right place.
Go behind
so
the trees.
Keep on going. There's this big group of pine trees in the back, and behind that is
the complex.
Be the holy mecca of wiffle ball facilities by the time I'm done with it. So you'll see. My July 4th, I will not be eating as many hot dogs as I normally do. I'll be busy preparing.
He'll like stuff them in his pockets.
Well,
and then he'll be putting things together, and then he'll just be nomming down.
This is very true. I'll bring a cooler, or maybe a portable grill, and just put on the tailgate of the truck.
But no, we are super excited. We already have, I believe, five sponsors already committed to the event.
Can you name them?
Absolutely. Yes. TD Landscape and Maintenance LLC. They are a sponsor. They're actually going to be the title sponsor of the tournament, the head sponsor, as well as Sporting Shoes out of Mount Vernon. They will be sponsoring, along with First Knox National Bank. They will be sponsoring as well. Ryan's Barbershop, located out of Fredericktown, as well as the Fredericktown Community Developmental Foundation. They have sponsored the tournament so far as well. And there are more to come. Just consistently just going out there. People actually coming up to me hearing about this tournament. They want to sponsor. But the biggest thing we need right now, folks.
Did we forget one? Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, Buffalo Wild Wings. Yes, that is also
They're being quite cool with me, actually.
Mm-hmm. So
not the local one, mind you.
Yes,
the one in Dublin, Ohio. Well, yeah. One of the ones in Dublin, Ohio.
We can't be more excited.
They're
about
awesome.
All that.
They're
so, everything is really coming together. The big thing that we really need you folks, you listeners out there, we need you to come and play. We want you to come and play because, one, it's going to be fun. We're going to have concession stands. We're going to have prizes for the top three teams that finish. It's just going to be a dandy old time. It's going to be July 5th. Starting at 9 a.m., pre-registration at the ballpark is going to start at 7:30 from 8:30. So we please ask you to be there. If you just want to fill out a sign-up sheet and send your money, we have those sign-up sheets at the Our Sports Report Wiffle Ball Summer Classic tab and page on the website. So please visit there, and we would love to see you on July 5th.
We need you to show up because as fat as we are, we cannot eat all this food ourselves. If you didn't mention, we are going to have concessions, mm-hmm. and it's going to be cheap. This
hot
is not going to be your
yeah.
$9 beer hot dog experience, you know, like at a Clippers game or something like. This is the day where you can bring the family, even if you're not going to play, show up and just have a fun.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do the Saturday after July 4th?
Not
a thing.
Yeah.
So why not?
There's, you know, we're going to have hot dogs, popcorn, chips and candy bars and things raging all there, and it's going to go anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar. A bottle of water, canned pop, all that will be available to you
yes.
at the concession stand. We will also be there with our loudspeakers. They're, you know, promoting everything, you know, coming up with tournament schedules and stuff like that. So we're super excited about it. We can't wait. Shock and I right now are not going to be playing in the tournament because hopefully this thing is big enough that we don't have to. That it's one of those things that we're going to be so busy making sure everything is going well, that it's going to be up to you guys to win the cash prize and stuff like that. So
yes, we don't want to win our own tournament.
Right.
Because clearly
we clearly might.
I mean, you have me over here.
Yeah. And folks, if you didn't know this,
oh, here we go.
Matt Schock is one of the best wiffle ball pitchers out there.
I don't know if you can brag
about
this.
He is kind of comparable to Aroldis Chapman. Because he wings that thing so quick, but his accuracy most of the time
dead.
Is just everywhere.
I kill people with a wiffle ball.
Yes.
This is true.
And I have been hit with that many a times.
Several welts to prove it
yes.
from the past.
But no, we are super excited. We cannot wait. It's going to be July 5th, so we are just 2 months away from this super awesome event in Fredericktown, Ohio. We please, please, please come to this thing because we can't be more excited. It's going to be a blast. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to cover anything from the Donald Sterling case that's going on with the NBA, as well as mock drafts. We're just a few short days away from what the NFL is getting ready to do on Thursday with the first round of the 2014 NFL draft. We're going to cover many things within the sports world here on Our Sports Report when we come back.
For the latest sports stories for the fans, from the fans, check out Our Sports Report. Conveniently located on the interwebs at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here on Our Sports Report. Beautiful day here in Central Ohio. Yes, wind blowing here at Studio A.
Yes.
Can't be more excited. Actually, I was really excited last night. I went to the Cleveland Indians game. I'm a huge Indians fan. If you don't already know this, I'm a huge Tribe fan. And right now they're up 3-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning.
And Corey Kluber is pitching out of his mind.
Yes, he
right
is.
Now.
Last time I checked, he had 10 strikeouts, and I'm sure that has changed. But went to the game last night, and this was a bit of a different reasoning for me to go to the game. I'll go to an Indians game anytime. But yesterday,
he had another fabulous pitcher on the mind.
Yes. Oral Hershiser. Bobblehead Day.
Yes.
Yes, folks. The guy that pitched 3 years for the Indians back in 95, 96, and 97. They had a bobblehead day for him. And I was a huge Oral Hershiser fan growing up.
He was a fan of the bobblehead.
And, you know, this is about the time when I, you know, first became an Indians fan. Went to my first Indians game back in 1995. And this is just kind of when it took off. So I saw Oral Hershiser in the rotation for those 3 years. Became a huge fan. It was hard to not become a fan of that team, as good as they were, going to two World Series in that three-year period. And it was awesome.
Jim Thome adjust his cup constantly.
Thought we talked about this, Shock. You don't go there with Jim Thome.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't. Jim Thome is one of the greatest to ever put on the Cleveland Indians uniform.
I'm not denying that.
And we don't even remember the times when he played for the Phillies or the White Sox, whoever the hell else played for.
Or the Twins.
The Twins. I forgot he played for the Twins.
And then he'd come back and smack the ball around on the Indians.
Yes, he would. Then he played for the Indians a little bit.
Anyhow.
Yes, so. No, but I went to the game last night. Had a great time. We sat near right field corner on the first row, and it was a blast.
Did you get a foul ball?
I did not, no. Luckily, but my chances were really good because I was sitting literally right in front of the ball boy that gets the foul balls. But, you know, every time you get one, a little kid would walk down, and I'm not going to be that guy. So, literally, the little kid would walk down, and I would be like, I just point to the kid. Like,
you know what prevented you from getting the baseball, right?
You're going to say my mustache.
The mustache.
That is not correct.
Because
I did get my picture with this guy.
He said, well, maybe, I mean, if you had a go, you'd look all baby-faced and look about, what, 18?
Yeah.
He might have thrown you a ball, but no, you have your mustache and you look 40.
Thank you. That is the best compliment you can give me. I look 40.
He's like, no, you are old. You don't get a baseball.
Well, I appreciate that. So, no, but
it's better than
it was,
my beard.
It was Oral Hershiser bobblehead day, and the first 10,000 got a bobblehead, and I love my bobblehead. It's phenomenal. It's going to be a staple here in Studio A. So,
yes.
That will stay here forever and ever. But
I'm not cleaning your bobbleheads.
What?
I'm not cleaning your bobbleheads.
No, I don't clean my bobbleheads either. they're there, and it's what happens.
Oh, man.
But going from someone that apparently looks like they're 40 to a man that is 80 years old, got into a bit of trouble here the last week or so. And I'm sure you all have heard about it, but Donald Sterling said racial comments and was recorded by his girlfriend, quote unquote, V. Stiviano. Yes. And
she's something, all right.
Oh my goodness, didn't she though? God, mm-hmm. she looks like one of those like porcelain dolls that just went awry. Shocker, nobody's cheekbones should be that big.
I hope she was worth the money.
Oh my God.
That's
I'm
saying.
We're getting there because this. Okay, so Donald Sterling, he gets in trouble for all this stuff, and eventually he gets banned from the NBA, from the Clippers, the whole nine yards, and now he's attempting to be forced to sell the team. Now, knowing Donald Sterling, from what I've heard, he's going to fight and claw his way the entire way. This is not going to be an easy fight. Every other owner in the NBA has already come out there with everybody else wanting to get this guy out of the league. Many people interested in buying the Clippers currently. And but for Donald Sterling, he's just going to fight the entire time. I mean, this guy is not going to go down without a fight.
Well, I've heard people say that, you know, legally, you know, if they get government involvement on this, I'm going to be very upset.
Right.
Because, for one, of all the things we got going on, that's the least of their worries. But for two, legally, there's no precedent to make him sell his business because of saying stupid comments. But does the NBA have a right to get involved? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
absolutely, yeah.
As I heard pointed out earlier in the week, this costs every team in the NBA money. Because the longer they allow this guy to stay around, the more it's going to tick people off. That's just the climate we live in right now. And now, before we go any further, yes, I am white, and yes, I disagree with everything that Donald Sterling said.
Yes.
Okay, can we put that out there?
Yes.
Nobody except your 80-year-old grandma really thinks that way. All right, and we've all heard...
Or grandfather.
Yes, and we've all heard those things at the family parties, and we all kind of look at each other and go, holy crap, did they just say that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we are. Now, like I said, they're going to lose money, and the more time they allow this guy to stay around, the more money they're going to lose. And so they've got to. They've got to get him out of there.
I'll tell you what. They get rid of this guy, and they are able to transition owners before the next season starts. Do you realize the boom you're going to see in NBA? In all honesty, the viewership is going to go through the roof because of just where it is now and the fact that he's out. Everybody will see it, and then they will just be like, oh, wow, well, the NBA is really turning the corner here, and they're really doing things the right way, and boom, it's just going to skyrocket.
And if he's still around, it's going to plummet.
Yes, you're exactly right.
That's the other thing.
And the NBA and Adam Silver cannot afford that. They cannot. So they got to get rid of the guy somehow, way or another.
Now, I finally, the other day, because I am not a huge NBA fan.
No. No.
Most people are aware of this. I finally the other day saw a picture of Adam Silver.
Doesn't he look like he hopped off a UFO?
He is one goofy looking
guy. Didn't he though?
He looks like the dudes that they'd like inflate and put in the Marlins stadium.
Yes.
Where they used to play.
Yes.
To make it look like there was more people.
I think he looks like one of those like flailing arm tube people that you see. You know?
You got him in the yard.
Kind of looks like that. Yeah. That looks like Adam Silver to me.
We need to have a webcam in here because if you would have seen what I just did, it would totally complete the visual picture that we're trying to give you. But anyhow.
But no, I don't agree with what Sterling said whatsoever.
No, he's an idiot.
He's an absolute idiot. He's stuck in a different generation. That's great, grand, wonderful, but welcome to the 21st century, dude.
Now, one thing I will give him, and now let's be upfront. There has been other things in this dude's past that will make that will make it abundantly clear that he absolutely meant what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, when I did first hear this story and heard the sound clip that apparently nobody could get enough of, the thought that crossed my mind was, well, gee, I don't know about you, but you know, I've been in arguments with women before.
Mm-hmm.
Do we always say the most rational things? And as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar pointed out in an article he wrote,
which was awesome,
she led him down the path.
Of course she did.
Very well. I mean, that was some beautiful work on her part.
No kidding.
But she's a piece of crap. I mean, you're recording what is supposed to be a private conversation expressly for the point of hanging him up.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
that makes you a piece of trash.
Here is her...
Regardless of how much of a piece of crap he is, you're worse.
Here is her motive, okay?
She wants money.
Absolutely, okay? She's 31 years old. She's changed her name.
And she's apparently not useful for
And she's
much.
A her. So that's what she's got going on right now. And
is it confirmed that she's actually a whore, or are we going to get sued?
We're just going to assume, but that's what we do. I mean, yeah, it's just all assumption, of course.
Oh.
But she's created her own clothing line, I'm sure, with Donald Sterling's money, all this other crap. And so she has been given $2 million in valuable assets from Donald Sterling over the past 2-3 years, whatever it is. Well, finally, Donald Sterling's estranged wife is not a fan of this anymore.
No,
she's not.
I find that
hard to believe. So what does she do? She sues Stiviano, the broad, and for $2 million straight out, okay? Because that's what the value is.
To get all those valuable assets back.
Well, since she doesn't really have $2 million, and all it is invaluable assets, and half the money she got from him, which I believe was somewhere in the range of like $240,000 or something like that, that's all gone. Of course it is. And so she then records this, sells this to TMZ, which she makes enough money to pay off the lawsuit and enough to put in her pocket.
Now,
so yes, this is motive number one.
Of course she couldn't pay the $2 million lawsuit up front because typically, people who are underhandedly scheming to get more money typically don't have a whole lot themselves.
God,
and they're
no.
very uncomfortable about their situation.
Mm-mm. No. Apparently we all forgot the term of hard work and determination is going to be able to take care of you. No, we just got to go steal stuff from other people. That's the way we do things
Careful.
Here in America.
Now, we're starting to sound like we're an AM station. So.
Well, I am sorry, but...
We need to calm down.
My apologies. I grew up with values, okay?
Oh, here we go.
I grew up with values. You work your tail to the bone, you get your 40 to 60 hours in a week, and you pay what you got to pay for life. That's the way it is. And she is not doing that. Well, of course, because she's a her, but that's beside the point. And
from
I'm
what
tired
I understand,
of
there is some physical labor involved.
Well,
when you are a hooer.
How physical are we talking here? I mean, how much work is she doing with an 80-year-old man? Let's be real here.
Well, that depends. This is as far as we're going to go. Okay. I'm done.
But the best part about this whole thing, which I shouldn't say the best, but the most ignorant part about this, when Donald Sterling finally spoke out on this issue, he didn't apologize. He didn't say anything saying, I'm sorry for what I've done. I do not agree with these actions or what I said, my greatest apologies. Do you know what he said, shocker? He said, I should have paid her off. Yes. That was it. I should have paid her off.
Man, at least he knows.
Oh, he knows.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely. And then this V. Stiviano does an interview for 2020. And it's just a train wreck because she's a train wreck. And she starts talking about...
Who interviewed her?
Barbara Walters. Barbara did.
Another whoer. But anyhow.
So, V. Stiviano comes
out and says...
I demand
that you sue me now.
She starts saying all this stuff about Donald Sterling. And Barbara Walters asks you, well, do you think he's a racist? No, I really don't think so. What? Gosh. What? Yes. Seriously? I am
wow.
just, it amazes me of where people go with all of this.
I'm not shocked anymore.
How do you go
me.
About this? It's ignorance, it's greediness, and it's just plain stupidity. Stupidity. I'm sorry, folks. If you have read my blogs, you understand I am not a fan of stupid. It just doesn't sit well with me. You were born with the brain. Use it. If you can't use it, then get the heck out of here.
Ooh.
That's just the way I feel.
You should see his eyes right
oh
now.
Oh, my
They're about
goodness.
To just pop out of his head.
Oh,
Are you
goodness.
Having a stroke over there?
No,
okay?
I'm okay. I'm just – it's stupidity.
Yeah,
it's just straight yeah. stupidity. When you are a millionaire, a multi-millionaire like Donald Sterling is, you are always under a microscope.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is watching every move you make, all right? If I'm that guy, I just live in my room and I don't leave because everything I do is on display for the entire world to see. I went out and, God forbid, if I go out and I get a cup of coffee or something like that, it's on the front page of the New York Post if I'm Donald Sterling. You have no privacy when you're Donald Sterling. When you are a celebrity, a multimillionaire, anything that you are in the public eye, you are not a you are not anymore... You're done.
Yep.
But
that's all there is to it. Anyhow.
So, anyhow, yes, we digress. But so Donald Sterling's an idiot. We go from there.
He's about to be a very rich man because of his stupidity, too.
Yeah,
he gets
yes.
to sell his team and probably make $1 billion,
yes.
too. That's the beautiful part. Let's see.
He bought it for $13 million.
Yes, you run your mouth, and you lose your team that you paid $13 million for. They're not just going to steal it from you. No. Somebody has to pay for it, and you are going to make out like a bandit.
Ain't that the truth? Oh, my goodness.
Maybe he was just sick of doing this, and he wanted to get as much as he could, because now it's a fire sale. I mean, it's literally – it's going to go up to the highest bidder because it's got to move now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And there's a lot of people out there with some deep pockets that want to
Maybe
get
he's
on this
a
thing.
Genius, and we don't even know it.
That might be some truth to it.
Maybe
oh,
he
man.
Planned the whole thing. No, that can't be. But it does make you nervous.
But, hey, but as we digress, we're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, talking the NFL draft, we got some major moves we need to make, especially for the Cleveland Browns, because, wow, they are just awful. So we'll be back here on the R Sports Report.
for honest sports stories for the fans from the fans, check out Our Sports Report, featuring fan commentary on the latest sports stories and issues from college football to ice hockey. Find us online at oursportsreport.wordpress.com.
Welcome back here on Our Sports Report, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Ashcraft alongside Matt Schock. So
presented
good to be back.
By Kurt Ashcraft mustache.
Really?
It's what? Fabulous.
You hated it like 20 minutes ago.
I don't hate it. I just think it's funny.
You think it, so? Is it like good funny? Is it bad funny?
No.
Like sad clown funny? Or like where are we at here?
You're no John Davidson.
Well, yeah, I'm no
we'll
JD.
It's not that quality.
I mean, I'd like to be there one day. We do know a guy that has the he's it's, rocking the JD.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The guy we're referring to, I'll have to get a picture of him.
And
sometime.
Actually, he is another sponsor. I do apologize.
Oh, yes.
He actually donated in his time and the materials for all of our strike zones and everything that we're going to use at the Wiffle Ball Tournament. Douglas Carpentry.
Is that what it is?
That's what we're going to go
that's
with.
That's what we're calling it? All
right. Douglas Carpentry and the guy that owns this, Paul Douglas, has maybe the most spectacular mustache that anybody could ever rock.
He is built in such a way that he is the modern incarnation of the John L. Sullivan pictures with the mustache and the guns. He could totally do it. He's a mang, as they say.
And one of the nicest men you may ever meet.
Yeah. I can't ask for a nicer guy.
No, you really couldn't.
But this has absolutely nothing to do with football.
No.
So.
Even though he does look kind of like a football player.
Oh, he was good.
He was a good son of a gun back in the day. So he could play some ball.
Yeah.
The old FHS.
Walked on to Georgia Tech at one point.
Did he really?
From what I understand. This has nothing to do with where we're going.
It's okay, but it's still content.
He didn't stay, but he walked on.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, Paul Douglas, how about
anyhow,
that?
Anyhow, his mustache.
Talking about awesome mustaches.
And awesome hair.
And awesome hair.
With Todd
as well
Mikchay.
As football.
Oh, no, Mel Kiper, excuse me.
We are 4 days away from the 2014 NFL draft. They split it up into 3 days. First round goes on Thursday. Second and third rounds go on Friday. And 4 through 7 goes on Saturday. I kind of was a fan of them sticking it to 2 days. Shoot, I'd like to see them stick it to 1 day, to be honest with you. Just do all 7 rounds in 1 day. Start at 9, end at 9. You know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Yes.
But what we have come to grow to know is that, you know, there's two certain guys that come up with mock drafts. And it's Mel Kiper and Tom Mikchay. And they're always on ESPN. They're always chatting about blah, 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 blah. Going at it all the time. So, but we're not going to go down each pick that they have. But I do think that it is important for us to kind of cover kind of the big names that are kind of in this draft and where we think and where they think they're going to go. With the first pick, they both have Jadeveon Clowney going to the Houston Texans. Now, personally, I don't think that's such a bad idea. I don't think he's going to stay in Houston. There is a bit of hubbub going on around that the Atlanta Falcons want to trade for Jadeveon Clowney. So that is a possibility. But either way, I think he is the unanimous number one pick.
Who are the Falcons going to trade to get him, though?
Well, I'm really not too sure.
Are they trading draft picks up?
They'll probably trade draft picks. They might trade a special teams guy. I could possibly see them trading maybe an offensive lineman, something along those lines. Something I would think would be interesting is if they traded Roddy White and maybe a second rounder or something like that for Jadeveon Clowney. I think that would be kind of cool because, one, Roddy White's kind of put himself on a bad hand here lately with the Atlanta Falcons when that kid won the bet on Twitter over Roddy White. When Roddy White picked Duke to beat Mercer in the NCAA tournament, the kid picked Mercer to win, and Mercer won. So Roddy White was wrong, and he bet season tickets on the 50-yard line, and then he didn't come up with the bet. And finally, after the media just dogged on him, and everybody else did too, he finally cashed in on the bet, as he should.
Yeah.
So right now, he is not the most beloved guy in Atlanta. So if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, you already have a number one legitimate wide receiver in Julio Jones. Why not shake things up a bit? Get your guy, maybe trade a second rounder, third rounder, and Roddy White for Jadeveon Clowney. See if that can rock. Because can you imagine in Houston, if they're able to get a guy like Roddy White on the other side of Andre Johnson, that could be pretty wicked. could be very wicked down there in Houston. So I think he is the unanimous for number one pick. What are your thoughts?
I think it's hard to see him going anywhere but number one to me, because I don't see anybody else outside of maybe Sammy Watkins challenging him for
possibly
the spot.
Yeah.
And I just don't think – well, the Texans could go Sammy Watkins. They could. Because like you said, he's on the other side of Andre Johnson.
If they don't go Clowney, they're either going to go Bortles or Manziel. In all honesty.
And we know my thoughts on that.
Yes. You are
Please,
a fan.
Dear Lord, take him off my hands.
I understand. But if they don't go Clowney, I don't think they're going to reach that high for Sammy Watkins. I really don't. If they're going to go that high, because they need a quarterback, Schaub is no longer in town.
That's true.
So
who they have left? Nobody?
They have the quarterback from North Carolina. I can't remember his name. But that's their starter right now.
Ugh.
Yeah. So they're going to have to get one regardless.
Yeah, they
I've seen
somebody.
Some mocks where, you know, they go Clowney in the first round, and in the second round they're going to take Teddy Bridgewater with their pick, or whatever the fact may be, and that might be a steal. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But I think if they don't go Clowney, they got to go Bortles or Manziel,
in
all honesty.
I think Bortles is probably the best fit for them, but he's not number one overall material, I don't really think. You know,
he's
that's
a project.
That's the thing where they're going to get in a risk. And anymore, you want your first-rounders to play. They don't do the Aaron Rodgers thing anymore.
Here is my problem with Bortles. I think Bortles, he's going to end up one of two ways. He's either going to end up like David Carr when he went number one, or he's going to end up like Joe Flacco, one of the two. I could see it going either way. Either he's going to be a fairly good quarterback in the NFL, or he's just going to be a complete bust. One of those two. Now, I know that leaves a broad array of things, you know, for you to fill in from there.
That gives you a lot of room to fail.
It really does. But I think it's a 50-50 split with this kid. I love him. I think he's got a lot of potential. But everybody else also thought that David Carr and Ryan Leaf had a lot of potential, too. Remember Ryan Leaf?
Oh, man.
That sad sack of stuff? Oh, my goodness.
That was good auto-censorship.
That's what I did.
That was good.
Yeah. But, oh, man, he is just crap. So that's where I'm at with Blake Bortles. But the gamble is, where's Manziel? There are some people out there like you, Shock, that can't stand him. And you think he's going to get broken in two. And then there are others out there that just love the thought of what he can become with his arm strength, with his confidence, with what he's able to do out on the football field. That's where they fall in love. You hate him because of his confidence, of his cockiness, and his potentiality to get ruined pretty quick.
My problem is everybody has looked at his stats, but no one has looked at how he got those stats. You know, they look at all these passing yards and all these great things. But let's keep in mind that a lot of his great receptions for all these times where he's such a playmaker, he was basically playing the up-for-grabs game with his receivers.
Yeah.
He would get himself into trouble, throw the darn thing up in the air, and it just so happened to work out for him, so magically that's a good thing. He is the only person who I've ever seen in college football be able to throw it up to nobody. And everybody else is like, well, that's a risky play because there was nobody really open. But magically, since this little peckerhead did it and won a Heisman, magically it's the greatest play on the face of the planet. That's bad football.
I hear you.
That's bad football.
And talking about how
any other quarterback that did that crap would be getting ripped for not just throwing it out of bounds like he should be.
And talking about how he got those numbers, let's see it here, okay? The guy that he threw most of his passes to, and Mike Evans, is a potential top 10 pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, they got him going 7.
He is electric. He is awesome to watch. He's big body, big frame, goes up, gets the ball. That's what made Johnny Manziel so good. On top of that, if Jake Matthews, which they're projecting he will go in the top 10 of this draft, which is an offensive lineman from Texas A&M, this will be the second year in a row that a offensive lineman from Texas A&M have won the top 10 of the NFL draft. So if that's the case, Johnny Manziel had two top 10 draft picks blocking for him as his offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of coverage, a lot of protection.
You're not going to do the same thing with the same success in Cleveland, where the offensive line cupboard is mostly bare.
You have Alex Mack.
And you don't have a receiver that's to that level.
You're not up there with Josh Gordon yet?
No. He hasn't proven himself to be all the way there yet.
Okay.
He needs more receivers to take some attention off him so he can maybe start catching balls.
Gordon almost had just as good a number as Calvin Johnson last year. I mean, they were close. Within 100 yards.
But you need more than one guy.
Well, yeah.
And that's my problem. You've got no protection and little to no targets in Cleveland, and you're going to expect Johnny Manziel to come in there and just start throwing it all over the playground like he did at Texas A&M and be successful? I don't see it. I'm sorry. Not going to happen.
So
they're probably going to be stupid and pick him. I wouldn't be surprised.
But what if it turns out as the greatest thing that's happened for Cleveland?
Then great. I will stand here and be wrong. It has happened before.
Yes.
I mean, come on. We're a blog, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, we're
it's not
wrong
like
a
we're
lot.
Right all the time here.
Yeah.
We're stupid, and we happen to write for fun. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, great. You can tell me I told you so all you want, but I think the numbers speak in my favor and the patterns that you see. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work at all.
I don't know, man. I see this kid, and I really think there's something special there. If he goes to a good coach that is able to handle what he has between the ears, because there's a lot of confidence.
So we're
there.
Really good. Again, how does that help him in Cleveland?
It doesn't help him in Cleveland.
They're horrible.
That does not help him in Cleveland.
Exactly. He can't go to a place like that. And if any coach is going to be willing to help him, he doesn't have the attitude to listen to him.
Right.
It's not going to work out. That's my thing.
There you go.
Cleveland sure as heck doesn't have the resources to do it.
So with the fourth pick, you obviously don't want Manziel.
No.
As a Cleveland Browns fan, who do you want?
Well, the good part about the Browns situation, if there is a good part, they have a lot of picks in this draft from various stockpiling of the glorious regime we just had. You have the opportunity to do some things. If Sammy Watkins is still on the board, you could trade up to him if you need to. You know, get rid of a pick, move up, take him. I think Sammy Watkins would help Mr. Josh Gordon out just a bit.
You want to take another offensive lineman?
No, not yet.
But you go Watkins.
You maybe take the offensive lineman in your second first-round pick.
Okay.
Maybe. Originally, I thought Carlos Hyde, but no, that's stupid.
Thank you.
First round is too much money for a running back to maybe turn into the next Trent Richardson. So we learned that mistake. We learned that. Don't go it again. So, you know, you take an offensive lineman, and I don't know who that's going to be because that's a ways into the first round. It's pick number 26.
Six.
So maybe you do the first lineman or the offensive lineman first, him at number four. But then Sammy Watkins is going to be on the board, so who are you going to take? He's not going to fall to 26.
Okay.
There's no way in the world.
No.
So you have to question yourself and say, can this line hold well enough as it is to enable two receivers to work?
But here's the thing I'm getting at, Shock, okay, is because if you do take one of the proven offensive linemen there at the top of the draft with either Greg Robinson, if he's available, he's probably gone, but Taylor Lewan out of Michigan, and I've also talked about Jake Matthews, and those are all projected top 10 picks. You get toward the end of the draft, yes, I love Sammy Watkins. I think he's a phenomenal player, but chances are pretty good that in the first 15 picks, Mike Evans and Sammy Watkins are gone.
Yep.
Okay, they're out of here. But you get toward the end of the draft, there are still some quality receivers, okay? You already have a number one receiver in Josh Gordon. He is the number one, okay? There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you could draft some supporting weapons. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need the big name guy. Okay.
Right. So when you get toward the bottom of the list, there are two guys that are going to be in that 26 range, most likely. Okay, chances are pretty good. If I had to go with anybody, one, it's either going to be Kelvin Benjamin. Dude is a stud, huge receiver, 6'5", 240 out of Florida State. He was one of Jameis Winston's top receivers this year. And he's one of those guys, goes up, gets the ball. Okay? So you bring in Kelvin Benjamin. Or another guy I've been a fan of for the last couple years is Marquise Lee. He is a bona fide star in this league. I just have a feeling of it. He has this amazing personality about him. He went to USC. He was a stud wide receiver there. One of the best in all of college football. And the chances are pretty good he might fall to 26. That's where I go there. But I'm not a Browns fan. You are the Browns fan.
Now, I did just get to thinking that if Roby was still on the board at 26, they could take him.
Possibility. Do you want to go corner, though?
Then him and Joe Hayden could smoke pot together and have a good time.
They could.
Because clearly, Bradley Roby's just making great decisions lately.
Isn't he, though?
But I really don't want the Browns to take a quarterback in the first round because, as we've pointed out even the last 15 minutes here, they have so many areas where they have needs. I don't think quarterback is going to fix anything right now. You're in the same situation we've been in for the last 10 years. You have all these pieces that you need, and we keep putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg by drafting quarterbacks. I don't know about anybody else. I would prefer this team to actually build something for a change instead of just throwing the new guy out there to the wolves like they have and maybe build this team so you can make a run at something.
So why not draft the guy and put him behind Brian Hoyer for the next year or so?
Because they don't do that.
Okay.
You don't do that with first-rounders now.
Okay, I know you don't, but who's to say you can't break the mold?
Apparently, everybody on ESPN.
Well, then whatever.
I'm just saying, that's not the pattern of the past several years.
Okay, I get it.
When you're doing the quarterback, you're wanting the guy. To me, it's just like in baseball. You add your starting pitching last. You farm everything else up, and then you add your starting rotation to seal the deal. Because your bat guys, they can develop in the shadows, no problem. Your offensive linemen, your receivers, all these guys, they can be on a crappy team that looks really bad, but they're good. And once it all comes in, you add that piece at the end, you've got somebody who can make it happen.
Well, you still need
everybody there first.
There is not a lot of difference between what we see in the number one picks to the potential guys that go in the second and third round. All right.
Exactly.
So from Manziel and Bortles and potentially Bridgewater, as well as Derek Carr, we're seeing some names here and there. I don't think there's much of a drop off when you go to the second round.
And that's why you don't want to pay the big money for the first round guy to hold the clipboard. I would much rather see them have Taj Boyd holding the clipboard for a couple years.
Do you realize how big Taj Boyd has gotten?
Yeah.
He's fat.
I know.
Taj
Boyd's
fat.
He can be fat and eat Cheetos on the sideline. Whatever.
I'm
okay with taking him in the second or third round because he's not in the first round and nobody expects him to do crap. And then maybe he turns out great and surprises you for a change instead of what we've been doing where we draft a quarterback in the first round, he sucks, and then we're looking for the next guy every time he comes around. And you're firing your coach in the process every freaking season. I'm done with it. It's time for this team to do something different because they're terrible. If they draft Johnny Manziel,
Are you going to do it?
Are
you going to do it? Come on, man.
And 99% sure I will pick a new team.
Really?
A new team. 99? Not the Bengals and not the Steelers and not the Colts. All you idiots are going to tell me that I should just come to them. No. I hate all those teams. Not going to happen.
So you're 99% sure if they draft Manziel.
If they take Manziel, I'm pretty sure I'm done.
What about with the 26 pick? What if they take Manziel?
If they take Manziel 26, I might be able to live with that.
Okay.
Because there's quite a price difference between 26 and 4.
But Manziel at 4.
Manziel at 4, I'm done. That's the stupidest move the Browns could make, in my humble opinion.
Okay.
Stupidest move they can make.
What
about the gals? What do you want the Bengals to do?
Would you stop calling them that? The Cincinnati Bengals.
The jailbirds.
Oh, you suck. The Cincinnati Bengals, they have the 24th pick in this draft because they make the playoffs, unlike the Cleveland Browns, so they get a later pick. Right now, Kuiper has them taking Coney Ealy out of Missouri, defensive end. Not a bad idea since they lost Michael Johnson. But McShay, on the other hand, he has them taking Jason Verrett, who's the 5'9 corner out of TCU. Personally, if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, the biggest problem they have, offensively, not bad. A.J. Green and Andy Dalton-ish are getting it done, okay? So that's where I'm going with that. But what they seriously need some help on is Dre Kirkpatrick has not panned out as a corner. You need some help with Leon Hall on the corner. And I'm not sure if Jason Verrett's my guy. He might be the only guy available when you get to that pick. That's great, grand, wonderful. But if somehow, by the grace of God, you have Darquez Dennard drop to 24, I might be the happiest man on the face of the earth, and I'll be playing ring toss for weeks.
With your keys.
With my keys, yes.
Now, you said they had the 24th pick, right?
Yes.
Now, per this article, they both have...
This might be the most Bengals updated one. Then.
Roby in this particular
right.
article,
yes.
Which, whatever. He might fit right in by the time he
very
gets
well
there.
Could. Bradley Roby also another option. But I'm telling you, there are three top corners in this draft that have size and they have skill, and that is Kyle Fuller out of Virginia Tech, Darquez Dennard out of Michigan State, as well as Kyle Fuller. No, I'm sorry, Justin Gilbert out of Oklahoma State. One of those three guys, if they make it to 24, you draft. Because I believe in my mind, they're all ahead of Bradley Roby. They're all ahead of Jason Verrett. And if teams need them, of course, you go there. Absolutely. But if somehow one of those three guys can drop to 24, and we've seen how drafts work before, these mocks are never 100% correct. So, if you are the Bengals, you watch this like a hawk. Keep the cornerback thought in your mind with your pick at 24. And if Gilbert, Fuller, or Dennard drop, you take them and you run. Because the value there is just so huge. I'm not huge on Bradley Roby. Because I watched him for 3 years here at Ohio State. 2 years at Ohio State. I'm just not sold.
I watched him for, he was here 3 years. He played okay his first year. Second year, he played great and basically lived up to all the hype everybody gave him. And then this third year, I watched him get torched because he was always playing for the big hit.
Yep.
Well, last I checked, in the NFL, if you make the big hit, you're going to get fined. So you need to prove that you can do something besides make the big hit.
Yes.
And that's not where his game is, I don't think.
I agree. Completely agree 100%.
I think he falls to the second round.
Who?
Roby.
I think that's very true. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Boy, howdy. I just don't know. See, in this updated one, they have him going to the Saints at 27. Is what they have. So that is a possibility as well. But, no, when it comes to the Bengals' first pick, I'm all about taking a corner. Now, I understand completely. Maybe picking the defensive end. I like Coney Ealy a lot. He plays really, really well. And personally, second, third round, fourth round, you get down there, I'd draft Michael Sam. I'd go Michael Sam and play him on the end. Because, yes, it is going to be a sideshow regardless, but when have the Bengals not been a sideshow with who they brought in? Adam Pac-Man Jones. Larry Johnson, after he dealt with a bunch of crap.
There it is.
It's just, they are the hotbed for craziness. I say bring it on.
They're entertaining.
Absolutely. Take Michael Sam later. And in the second round, here's the thing. You draft Teddy Bridgewater if he is there. With your second round pick, and he's available with his stock dropping as it is, which very well could be media-induced. Let's just make this correct. Teddy Bridgewater might be just as good as Blake Bortles and Johnny Manziel.
Probably is.
But he had a bad, quote-unquote, pro day, okay?
Oh, so, no.
God forbid you have a bad pro day. And now everybody is just knocking him down the list.
I'm fine with the Browns taking him. Just saying.
Wouldn't even be a bad thing. No, I hear you. But if he's available in the second round when the Bengals are drafting, I'll tell you what. Andy Dalton needs something to happen.
And he needs something to light a fire under him.
Yes. And drafting somebody of the potentiality of Teddy Bridgewater might be what it takes. Because this kid might come in day one and push the envelope.
Yep.
That is what the Bengals need. That's what Marvin Lewis needs. And most of all, that's what Andy Dalton needs. Because it seems like Andy Dalton just, ho-hum, let me do my job, and I will do what I can. No. Dang it, I'm tired of this. You get to the playoffs 3 years in a row, can't win a damn game, and now you just want this big contract extension? No. Show me something, kid. Win a playoff game. Maybe get us to the AFC Championship game. Then we'll talk. But until that point, don't you dare even think you're going to get a contract extension, because you can go out there and throw the damn football and get us to a 10 or 11 win season. That's not okay. You bring someone in that second round that is going to push the envelope, make him scared. That's where you go with that. And if Bridgewater's available, you take him. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on our Sports Report.
Want our up-to-date opinions on the latest sports happenings? Then follow us on Twitter at @OS_report. It'll change your life.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to our Sports Report. We're going to close some things up here, close out the podcast. Really appreciate you joining us here. Here today, and really appreciate all the support you guys have given us over the last year or so. And we have eclipsed over 15,000 views, and it's been a wild ride. And some things that we've been able to accomplish have just been extremely cool. And we can't be more excited for the way things have turned out for us.
All right, what's the SportsCenter update you just got?
Nets beat the Raptors, 104-103, Game 7. Woo-hoo. So the Nets move on to the second round of the playoffs. So we'll talk more about the NBA playoffs as we get going. But,
I won't be here. But okay.
Yeah. And the Indians just lost. They gave up a 3-1 lead, and John Axford blew a save. And
it has happened before.
Oh, yes, it sure has. But
that's a heck of a way to treat it the day after Oral Hershiser bobblehead day.
Isn't it, though?
I tell you.
That's a shame.
No respect at all.
But something that has been fairly popular this weekend is college graduations. Both you and I are graduates of our respected universities, Otterbein University, as well as The Ohio State University and Mount Vernon Nazarene University, correct?
Yeah, I only claim Ohio State.
Okay. Well, you know, I like to throw in that, you know, master's degree you got there. So.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you as much cred as possible.
Okay.
A tweet was put out by Mr. Aaron Kraft, as you all know, was the point guard for Ohio State for 4 years. And
he's the target of women's lust everywhere.
Yes, he is, isn't he? God, they love him. He tweeted a picture of him and his girlfriend, his diploma and everything, and she's...
Have we found our next assistant for our sports report?
She is not up there with Blake Bortles' girlfriend.
It seems like every woman that you find on connected to some athlete just has to be our next secretary
reason. She's up there. So Aaron Kraft graduates today from The Ohio State University. Seemed like he was at Ohio State forever, which was not a problem.
It wasn't a one and done, so it seemed like it was 8 years.
Yeah, no kidding. But he did so much for the department, you know, the athletic department, and, you know, for the basketball team and everything he was a part of. And I really think he's going to be one of the most beloved Buckeyes that has ever came through this institution. So best of luck to him and his future endeavors. Kid's going to probably have a great career in whatever the heck he does. So nothing but the best for Aaron Kraft.
He's going to be selling insurance with the best of them.
I know, I have a gut feeling he's going to get a job with Ohio State doing something.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to find a spot for him as much as he's loved.
Oh, yeah.
They'll find a spot for him. So,
But he won't have his rosy cheeks if he's not on the court.
That's true. Maybe they'll have him doing sprints up and down the hall so that way he can get the rosy cheeks and then he can start working. So
run up and down the hall a couple times. We need you out here.
Yeah. Oh, that's
an amusing idea.
That's a possibility. So do you have any final thoughts, sir?
Nope.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
They don't call him the best color man in the league for nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
So for Matt Schock, I am Kurt Ashcraft. For our sports report, we greatly appreciate. Yes.
I do have a final thought.
Yes.
For the love of all that is holy, please, Cleveland Browns, do not draft Johnny Manziel.
And if they do,
that's all I ask.
They will lose Matt Schoch.
Yes, because they're really worried about that.
They are. But I can tell.
They're apparently not worried about winning games either. But.
But, whatever. So, for our sports report, and remember, join us July 5th, Fredericktown, Ohio, 2014, our sports report, Wiffle Ball Classic. It's going to be a blast. Please show up, ladies and gentlemen. More information on oursportsreport.wordpress.com. Once again, for our sports report, Matt Schoch, Kurt Ashcraft, please, we'll see you around. Thank you.